Okay, Stormy, if you want to start.
Okay, I'm officially calling the ANC 1D meeting of April. Wait a minute. Oh, I got the wrong paper in front of me. This is May. I put the wrong paper. Yeah, that's the thing that I can't see clearly. That's why I never look at it. Be still a minute, because I can't see it. I can't see it at all. Somebody's going to have to quote the date and time for me. I can't see it. No.
Today's date is May 19th, 2009, and the time is 7:03.
Okay, I'm officially calling the ANC 1D meeting to order. I'm starting off with open discussion.
During the open discussion period of the meeting, we invite members of the attending public to speak their minds about why they're here and what they're interested in.
3 minutes.
Have 3 minutes.
We're here just to answer any questions you have. We're the ones who are part of the resolution, the petition. Is Michael here enough? I don't know.
Okay, can we start over and state your name for us, please?
Okay, I'm Jim Dickerson. I live at 3418 17th Street. And you want to say your name?
My name is Alfred Goodwin, 3449 17th
Street. Renji Ibn, 3424.
And Jordan Engel, 3420 17th Street. And we brought the petition for the speed humps, and that's why we're here. So, okay?
I sure would like to hear from your point of view of what's going on down there. I know that for 20 years you, Jim, have supported the Our Block organization, and that has been the problems down there have been a major concern for a very long time.
Okay, before we get started and we go any further, I don't want any commissioner speaking unless I recognize you. Thank you. Okay, so where are we now? Do we have any commissioners that have any questions that they would like to ask of the gentleman? No? Greg?
I'd like to hear from our guests. Something more of what their concerns are about that neck of the woods.
Well, the concern tonight is to try and slow the speed down on 17th Street with the vehicles. As you know, it's a hairpin curve and blind spots on both sides, and for years and years we've worked with trying to do different things to get the speeds reduced there, and it's been, people have been hit by cars. I've been there 38 years. Albert's been there for 40 years. He's had three cars, one of which was total, three cars hit. My son was hit by a car there. It is, people hit that top of 17th and Newton and like a launching pad take off down, and then they're speeding up the hill and around that curve, and then there's a narrow street and a narrow sidewalk. And so basically what we're hoping to do is just slow the speed down. The driveways are dangerous to come out of the driveways on the street with different times with people speeding up and down. So that's basically what we're trying to do with some speed, you know, with some calming and slowing down the traffic. There are other problems in the park and everything else like everybody else has, but this is one that we're trying to address with a few speed humps.
Jack.
Let me note that Oliver arrived at 7:06. So we now have all six present. Stormy, did you name the commissioners present? I don't recall that you did.
No, I
case,
didn't.
All six are now present.
All six are now present. Sorry, Jack.
Yeah. there will be a resolution on this topic, and I think at that time it would be appropriate to hear from the residents of that street. I will invite them to speak at that time. It is, of course, up to the commission whether to hear them or not.
Okay. Do we have anybody else that wants to say something at open discussion? Okay. Then we can move on. The secretary's report.
Okay. Are there any corrections to the minutes of the April 21 meeting?
Phil.
I'd like to ask that in regards to the matter of 3115 17th Street BZA application, that the minutes note that Mr. Barnes made a brief presentation of the project. No other testimony was offered.
Let me point out that the minutes are supposed to be a record of the official actions taken by the ANC and not a record, not a transcription of the proceedings. And I'd rather not get into recording additional details.
The only reason I ask is that it would be in keeping with the public discussion notes of just noting who spoke and on what side.
Any other commissioners' response on that? Okay. Well, we've been keeping with just making the records of what actually happened, so.
Excuse me. I'm going to just bring this up on the screen now, and let me just. This is what is currently recorded. And my question is, does the commission wish me to add a remark that Mr. Barnes made a presentation on the application?
Great.
I was around when we tried longer descriptions, and sometimes the minutes would go on for months because there were conflicts about exactly what word to use other than just simply noting that somebody had made that they spoke. And we felt that the best way to just expedite things was to restrict the comment, just noting that people showed, and without any kind of description or comments about any description at all begins to be seen by one side or the other as not the proper word or so. So I support Jack in maintaining this convention.
Okay. So I see no further input about that, so we need to move on with that.
Then are these minutes accepted without correction?
Phil is could make a motion.
Yes, he could.
And I don't want anyone to be run over.
I appreciate you looking out for me. I will not make a motion at this time in the interest of moving the committee along or the commission's business along. I will, however, note that I do think it's germane to the issue in the way that matter was disposed that we only did hear from one party at that time. But as I said, I will not offer a resolution and may continue.
Now, audio recording does have that, does it not?
Well, the audio recording, of course, has everything.
Okay. Great.
We are required by law to keep a transcript of our meetings and make them available to the public. So that came out to be part of the compromise, that we not attempt to annotate, and that anyone who is really interested can go to the record.
Everybody okay now? So we're going to accept it. What was it? Were you on secretary's report? All those in favor? Okay, we have five voting yes, one Commissioner Lepanto voting no. Oh, you're abstaining. I correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On to the Treasurer's Report.
Okay, our audit results have yet to appear, which I take as a sign that the auditor is busier, busy with much more important things than our audit, and also that he has no particular concerns about our audit. He's told me that. So there's not a problem there. He did email me on the 15th looking for additional material for the third quarter of FY08 report, which may indicate that he's fairly far behind. And happily, I was able to provide him with what he needed very promptly, which I think contributes to our establishing a pretty good relationship with the auditor's office. I have a few payments to make. Tony Grillo, $100 for posters. Lena Parikh, a couple of payments which have already been approved by Greg and Stormy. And a couple of checks to Bill Butler, $50 for running the audio tonight, and $123.75 for his services for a couple of weeks preceding up to now. Is there any objection to my making any of these payments? No objection? Then proceed with that. That's it for the Treasurer's Report.
Okay. We're moving on with committee reports, commercial quarter.
I got a call from Tariq Bolden saying that it appears that this ANC is one of the most popping in the city for the number of issues that we are considering. Let me go down a few of them. There will be a conference for settlement in Jim Graham's office sometime next week. I've been invited because of not because I think of my role in the ANC, because of my activism and supporting the building. Everybody, I think, has heard about the situation and how it is very complex. So, Jack, I think, summarized it in an email. So without objection, let me just offer. Anyone wants to talk about it, I can describe where we're at. But it appears to be moving now. On policing, I've asked Commander Cusack to follow the orders from Assistant Chief Grooms, that he works with the some of the major civics and the five of the 22 grantees have policing and security related issues as a way to try to move Mount Pleasant as being an example of Assistant Chief Grooms reorganization of PSAs. Again, if anyone is interested, this appears to be about to pop finally. We spent a lot of time and a lot of emotion on the recent BZA case, and at least Jack and I talked about it recently this afternoon, and thought that we should reinforce the tentative agreement I have with the Secretary of the Office of Zoning, Clifford Moy, to try to insert language alerting people when a BCA case comes up. The Office of Zoning sends out letters, and they should include a part of the alerting people that they should contact their ANC. Also, there is a working group that is going to be put together on changing the rules. I talked with the Office of Planning earlier, right after the meeting, and they agreed that the rules that they had to apply were not fair, and that they would seek to see changes. That working group will get going probably in late summer, and the target is to have a new set of rules out in November. I just learned this a few minutes ago. Many people here know about the library redesign. There's a meeting on the 3rd of June at the library that is being put on by DCPL. In addition, sometimes next week, we don't know when, there are two members of the commission that are represented on the working group, Phil and myself, and we'll be having a meeting to see what a totally new redesign is coming up with. I talked with the Commission on Fine Arts, and they said that everything has been delayed because they heard from the library that they're going in for a fundamental redesign. The one issue that still bothers me is the 75-foot long ramp for ADA compliance on the side. which seems to me to be pretty brutal. And given it does twist a bit, but there is about a 50-foot long ramp, which if anyone gets out of control could lead to some serious problems. And it's very daunting. But I think we're going to have to worry about that. The small area plan. I've had extensive discussions with the Office of Planning. And let me, again, just say that if anyone is interested, I'm happy to talk about this. I welcome people to help me put together the ideas. I've invited in to speak with the Associate Director for Neighborhood Development and had several conversations with Tariq about it. And essentially, they agree that Mount Pleasant is number one, the most diverse neighborhood in the city right now. Number two, that other neighborhoods are becoming as diverse. This is the trend all over the world. And that they don't have a current methodology that they're comfortable with. The critiques that I made in testimony before the council, they accept largely. And so the question is, how can we come up with another way of doing things? They have raised the possibility that we could not rush to a final plan for Mount Pleasant and legislation by August, but it could be delayed so that we could use this as an example of how to do a better job with diverse neighborhoods and public participation on it. And along with that, the ULI has had it at the Urban Land Institute had a technology assistant panel that met 10 days ago. And they will be putting out the report. My own opinion is that, having gone to a lot of ULA conferences and read a lot of their materials, is that the panel they put together was unaware of their own research about what to do in these kinds of situations. It's a volunteer group that met for a day and a half, and they're throwing together their ideas. I will also, I'm paying my own way to go tomorrow to the ULI, another ULI conference. And I'm not asking the commission to pay for that. There's, as Tariq Bolden says, there are huge numbers of things going on in Mount Pleasant right now. One last thing. On the streetlight issue, the associate director and chief engineer told me that she doesn't care about engineering studies or ergonomic studies or anything else. She's the chief engineer, and the only thing that counts is her judgment. And her judgment is that DC should have one design of streetlight and one design only. Sort of like Henry Ford, any color you want, as long as... And when she was saying that, Gabe Klein, the director, passed by and said that he wanted to encourage me to continue to challenge the conventional wisdom, and that he assured me that what Kathleen Penny just said was not the ruling of the department, and that he invited us to talk about opening up the situation again. I know that I respect the note I got from Dave Bosserman about this, and I thought you might be pleased to hear that they may be opening up more than they were. One last thing. I was contacted by Karina Ricks, who said that she was willing, that the ANC's arguments about diversity and maintaining the gate on Kenyon were interesting to her, and that she would be willing to consider changes so that we could maintain that bit of idiosyncrasy on Pleasant Street. And I don't have a lot of time, but I would hope that that other commissioners or other neighbors that might be interested in this would contact me and see if it's worthwhile considering it rather than having a further uniformization of the street. Thank you.
Any commissioners have questions about the commercial quarter report? Okay.
One last thing. Is that we'll perhaps mention it when the BZA thing comes up, but I am continuing to work on ward-wide ideas for responsible hospitality, for bids, and so on, with a group that Jim Graham suggested we get together several years ago, which was we called the Midtown Group, towards coming up with some long-term funding sources and policies that would integrate many different services together for greater sustainability.
Dave.
Yeah, I just have a question to Greg about the gate. Have you yet communicated that to our friend David Sittmer?
The diplomatic answer would be I've been too busy, and it's in fact true. The a better answer is the one that I gave, which I don't want to go into this unclothed without friends. So if you're interested in joining me with me, I would welcome it, because it undoubtedly will be a very difficult situation.
Do you mean working with the city with the gate? Or talking to you?
I would rather not pinpoint all the sources of difficulty.
Well, of course, I think David needs to know this. This new... I would think David would need to know that there everything is not lost.
I plead with you, don't do that unless you're willing to put some work in on it. Don't leave me alone in front of that force of nature.
Okay.
I hope my approach seems reasonable to you.
Anything further? Commercial quarter report? No, okay. So our next topic is the next two meetings. June 2nd being the informal, and June 16th being the business meeting. If there is a conflict or anything with any commissioner. No? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Our informal meetings have been very ill attended for a lot of reasons, most of which people don't like to go to meetings unless they're really involved in something. So, unless we're going to have a meeting about something that people are really involved in, I would say we shouldn't just have a meeting for the sake of having a meeting.
I totally agree. We need to have a subject of whatever we're dealing with, Jack.
Yeah, I'm about to say the same thing. That what we ought to do is define a topic, because with no topic, you're not going to get any people. And the question now is, does anybody have a topic for this meeting? I don't.
I do, but I find
the chair recognizes Greg.
Thank you. I'm sorry. To me, the small area plan is one of the most significant things that we're dealing with and are not dealing with. It will shape Mount Pleasant, the commercial corridor area, and the surrounding streets for a long time to come. And it seems to me that this is an opportunity where we perhaps can use staff to help us to bring in attention and to prepare for it and to make sure that it is something that where we can have a better and deeper discussion of the issues.
Oliver?
Yeah. Our last informal meeting, there were some topics that actually were put forward, but those topics were not discussed, like the statehood topic that David Bossabe brought. It was unfortunate that the topic wasn't actually discussed, so if we could move that topic to be discussed in this coming informal meeting, I think that would be a good idea.
Dave?
I've determined that discussions like should we be a state have better venues than the ANC. I'd rather work with venues where people come.
Okay. Well, I think as it stands right now, we only have one idea on the plate, so I guess we'll decide and communicate in email whether or not we're even having that informal meeting. Do we want to leave it at that now and establish that during this week coming up, females, Dave?
If we don't have a plan to have a meeting now, I don't think we would get people there in 2 weeks.
Okay, Jack?
I have a feeling that by the 2nd of June, I'm going to be in full board, we'll keep vacation mode.
Okay. So I guess as of right now, we will not be having an informal meeting.
We need a resolution since we've set that up, so just to serve the commission.
Bring the gavel and smack him on the wrist.
On the head with it.
Go ahead, Greg.
Madam Chair, may I move that, pretty please, that we, I support you, by the way, in your rigor, that we cancel the meeting, the first meeting of the month of January.
Second motion.
All those in favor? I see unanimous, all commissioners voting yes. Okay, where are we now? Since I don't have my paper in front of me. Okay. Now, so we're going to address them in order as they are. Unfinished business. Add the power to access fines on public utilities to the Public Service Commission. Greg?
First, in public, I'd like to thank Dave Wasserman for his astute suggestions in reformatting this, and I accept all of them. Jack has communicated with me and asked that this be delayed for a month so that we will have a chance to gather more evidence and discussion about how this should go. And I, in the interest of comity, I would like to accept his request. So I move that we, how would you like to handle this? That we just leave it as unfinished business and bring it up next month?
Or but I think because it was tabled until this meeting, we have to make another motion to table it until the next meeting.
Okay, so I move that we table it to the next meeting.
And I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Okay.
All six commissioners voting yes. All righty. Speed humps for 17th Street, Jack.
Okay, let me read the motion, then undertake a discussion. Resolve that ANC 1D advises DDOT to respond to the petition from residents of the 3400 block of 17th Street requesting speed humps with an appropriate traffic engineering assessment of the traffic calming problem and a proposal for its solution, employ speed humps as appropriate. DDOT is further advised to permit residents of the ANC to review its design for speed humps or other traffic calming measures on this road before committing to installation. The installation of any traffic calming measures should be preceded and followed by a quantitative measurement of their effectiveness.
Okay. We don't need the rationale.
Need a second.
Oh, second. Discussion.
Is there a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Discussion.
Well, let me offer the background here. There's really quite a bit going on. The practice at DDOT has been to require a traffic audit before undertaking any traffic calming measures, which is a fairly long and tedious procedure. Lately, they seem to have switched entirely away from that, instead to a system where the residents petition for speed humps, DDOT comes out, decides where to put speed humps, and speed humps show up. without even any advice to the residents of where they're going to be. This happened in Cleveland Park. I think that's a prescription for having speed bumps on every road in Mount Pleasant, because I certainly get speed complaints from everywhere in Mount Pleasant. So I am suggesting here a more measured process for agreeing on what traffic calming measures are appropriate. Basically, a certain amount of consultation with the traffic engineers and consultation with the residents, including consultation with the residents before anything goes into the streets. Now, referring to this particular problem specifically, this is the location. That's 17th Street looking from Newton Street north. And it's a connecting link to Piney Branch, so it gets a lot of people who are just on the way through in a hurry. There is a very sharp curve up here, very sharp and narrow. So certainly traffic slows at that point. That's what the 50 mile an hour sign is about. Now, the Mount Pleasant Traffic Study evaluated this situation specifically. And this raises a bit of a difficulty, because we're going to decide on what our criteria should be for approving petitions for speed bumps. Do we just say yes to everything that comes down, or do we stop and think about it and decide what criteria should be met? This location was evaluated by the Mount Pleasant Traffic Study, and they came up with the assessment that no traffic calming was appropriate here, which then presents a problem to us, because are we going to go against the traffic engineering study? We should have good reasons for doing that. As a consequence of that, I was doing a certain amount of observation down there to see for myself what the traffic speeds were. This is a bar chart of the traffic speeds I observed on that straight stretch one Sunday afternoon. And as you can see, there is very interesting high-speed tail there, which I think is the nub of the problem, that people coming down that speed of the road are going well over 30 miles an hour. But one afternoon was really not sufficient for coming to conclusions here, and I was pretty much forced to stop work on this, because the reaction of some residents was that I should not be questioning what they wanted. So I stopped. And as a result, I have only this incomplete measurement to offer, and against the traffic study observation that no traffic calming was appropriate. So that's where we stand. It's a difficult location. The problem here, of course, is that these are driveways. And I can certainly imagine if I'm in a car backing out of the driveway and somebody shows up, it's a frightening situation. That's it. I'm just not sure what the... I want to be sure that we go through a careful process before agreeing to anything. And I think what I have laid out in my resolution is that kind of a reasonably careful process.
Dave?
Yes, the study mentions that everything's fine for a 25-mile-an-hour roadway. Is this considered a 25-mile-an-hour roadway when this is has a 15-mile-an-hour sign on the wiggly, below the wiggly sign?
I have inquired at DDOT, because at this point, technically the speed limit is 25 miles an hour, and that is what the traffic study said, that at this point on the road, the speed limit is the standard for resident streets, which is 25. When you get down around that corner and approach the driveways to the back side of the buildings down at the bottom of 17th Street, then suddenly there are signs bulletin 15 miles an hour. And not merely warning signs, yellow signs, but the black and white saying post the speed limit. So there seems to be this uncertainty of exactly where the speed limit becomes 15 miles an hour. And I have inquired at DDOT, where exactly is the speed limit 50 miles an hour, and I have been unable to get a response to that.
Oliver?
The
I live at the Wooden, the side B, where my apartment actually opens direct to the 17th Street. There are a number of occasions where sometimes at night I would hear people really speeding. And when I'm at home on Saturdays or Sundays, I would see some motorists actually speeding. When I see it outside of the balcony, because it faces straight 17th Street. So really there is speeding on that stretch of the road, and there's need to have speed bumps so that the speed is, you know, regulated.
Yeah. I've just put up, by the way, an aerial view, Oliver, so you can see exactly where the Woodner is, staring over the lower end of 17th Street. Where we're concerned, don't have the pointer here. This involves that straightaway section just north of Newton Street. That's where the speed bumps are being knocked down at the bottom.
Greg.
I've spent a lot of time recently on this because there's some possibilities of different points of view and amongst the groups. Here's my where I'm at right now, and I am not speaking with a great deal of assuredness, but because it's a difficult situation. But number one, I observe that the practice of DDOT is to listen to Jim Graham's office as the chair of the committee overseeing their budget. And Jim Graham is a mind to, when people have some kind of reasonable case that they make to his staff, to give them speed bumps pretty quickly. So as things now stand, given the small sampling I've had of speaking to people in that block, I think there's a 99% chance that they will get speed bumps regardless of what this body says. Number two, I detect some tension between the way this body is handling things and Jim Graham's office. And I hear from both from the council member and from the office that they would like to approach some of these problems in less of a contentious way and more of a community problem-solving way. And so that's the intent of the hearing tomorrow, is to try a new style where discouraging people from coming in with their ego behind something or, you know, full resolution, but instead inviting people to come in with evidence and arguments and primarily with better ideas. So my feeling is that the best way for us to move forward and to get over the kind of conflicted ways that we've done things in the past is to start to work with Graham and his office, because they actually decide these things. And if we're going to be influential, to cooperate with them and to cooperate with our neighbors on how shall we go about handling these issues. Not put in something right now. If we do, I'd say let's put a Band-Aid on this, because the people researching this say that street speed bumps do actually work. They will slow down, and there it is pretty clear that you need to slow down at that location because it's so dangerous. And then defer this resolution until in effect the next meeting, when we can have had these discussions and start to move in a different direction, because I think if we the way we're moving now will not get us what we want.
Okay, with the commissioner's permission, I'd like to acknowledge the community that's raising their hand out there.
Do you agree with me?
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I don't know the usual protocol here about when.
It
identify yourself.
My name is Ira Goldman, and I live on 1800 Kilbourne, just by way of reference. If you've been looking at the forum, I'm the guy who raised a stink about the commuter parking program recently. Is there a distinction technically between a speed hump and a speed bump? I don't have problems. I don't drive down this road very often. I don't have a specific concern about this. But driving across through to Columbia Pike, if you're driving at 20 at the speed limit, you still have to slow down for the bumps. And so you end up with, in my experience, a bad traffic flow. And it's the equivalent of having stop signs three times in the middle of the block. And I don't know if technically there's a way to design these things so that if you're doing the speed limit, you can just roll along in most cars. And at some point, so that it really is calming rather than stopping of the traffic. And so I just to take advantage of the item on your agenda to bring that up rather than specifically say I care about this specific installation. Thank you.
Sir,
if you go to Monroe Street between 17th and 16th, you get an example of speed humps and the way they control traffic. They are designed so that if you're going at a moderate speed, you can just go over them without having to stop. They're not like speed bumps. Speed bumps make you stop. There's one of those on Addis Miller Road near Walter Pierce Park. That's not what we're talking about. This is speed hump.
Okay, I guess the definition is the humps you can drive over, the bumps stop you. Okay.
Good.
Anybody else want to make any further comments about this issue?
I just want to say Jordan Engel, 3420 17th Street. I'm not a neighborhood activist at all. I'm usually pretty
active.
Close to him. Well, I was worried about the feedback. I'm not much of an activist or participate in things like this, but I just have to say that the speed on that street it's almost humorous. It is so ridiculous given the type of road that it is. And that it's not just for pedestrians, but there's bicyclists there, people walking back and forth between their cars. It's a dark street. People are coming in and out of the driveways as well. So for any kind of use there, some of the speeds up in the upper 30s is amazing. And you can see the clipped mirrors as proof of what happens on such a narrow road that a lot of drivers are amazed to find out that it's even that it's a two-way street because it is so narrow.
Jack?
Would we like to open a discussion on making it a one-way street?
No.
Guess not.
No, it would make it faster.
Actually, my proposal has been to take just one short piece of it.
Phil, I'm sorry. Jack, you finished?
I'm trying to bring up
this
thing again. Because it's just a small section at the bottom here, above those driveways, but between the driveways and this curb, that you could, if you made that one way northbound, then there wouldn't be any of the traffic coming north. But this is obviously very unpopular with the residents, so that's really just not going anywhere. I have not been suggesting that the whole street be made one way, even though that curve along there is scary. I mean, either you should give up parking or you should make it one way, but neither one of those is a popular idea. This is one of these situations where you just cannot do the engineeringly logical thing.
Yeah.
I believe that I will be supporting this resolution mainly because I think it offers enough flexibility for DDOT to come up with several solutions, whether it's a speed bump, a speed hump, or rumble strips, or what have you. as a driver, I have been on that both northbound and southbound. I think it is a vital link to the rest of the city. I would like to keep it two-way. I do think that one thing that we should be open to is perhaps a removal of some on-street parking in that area, particularly near the more narrow portions. You know, I don't think that's necessary to add to this resolution because I think this resolution is open enough. As to my colleague Greg's comments about potentially tabling this to harmonize with Councilmember Graham's efforts, I don't particularly understand why he needs to get out ahead of this before the ANC. Jack has certainly done a lot of work on the ground, and there are many neighbors here who are calling for action. So I'm inclined to let the ANC take the first step on this.
Any further, Jack?
I fully expect AD.SAT AD come up with traffic comps as the appropriate measure to take. They are the most effective way to sort of to control the speed of traffic. One of the problems, though, is that speed humps are not advised on steep slopes where bicycles travel, because the bicycle going downhill can muster pretty good speed, and then the bicyclist may be tossed off his bicycle over a speed hump. So there's an interesting trade-off there of speed humps for slow traffic, but failing to respect the needs of bicyclists.
Dave?
That road is too narrow for bike lanes, right?
Or we could make it a bicycle-only route.
You could have a bike cut out.
There should be bicycle slots cut in these things, but DDOT doesn't.
But no.
Okay, sir. I give up for it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Great.
Well, originally, I mean, as of this afternoon, about 3 o'clock before before Jack told me that he had gotten a message from Jim Dickerson that he supported this. My thinking had been to either support it just because this is a very dangerous area where lives are at stake and we need something done expeditiously. Those humps are easy to put down and remove, they're pretty cheap, and just do something to stem the tide for momentarily, as I understand most of the residents have been asking for, on the basis of public safety. And then we can talk about what we really want in terms of handling this. I think if we continue the way that we've been doing it, we're not going to have the support of Graham, and that the resolutions may be moved. I think Jack and I talked about it at length today, and I think we're moving together and finding a lot of better ways. I need to do more research. I talked with Jonathan Cass. He agreed we need to do some more research to find out how to do this. And so my current brothers is to put something down temporarily. It may last longer. In a resolution, ask for further study. But we've all agreed to do it anyway, so it's sort of moot. And then to try to work out a coordination with DDOT and Jim Graham's office so that we will all be doing this collaboratively rather than each defending up on our rights and, you know, taking the lead and all that stuff. Because I don't think we're going to get what we want out of that. So my direct preference, depending upon in effect, I know Jim Dickerson has been leading the Civic Association there for a long time. If they would go along with that, if they think that's the right thing to do, that's what I would prefer. Immediate speed humps, and then that we try to work things out with Graham's office and DDOT and in our discussion to come up with something that we can respect and that will work.
Okay, I make a motion that we close discussion.
Could I have one final comment?
Zach?
Okay, I really think that DDOT's going to look at this and say, okay, speed hump here, speed up here, speed up here. Dealing with the issues of lighting, because speed ups have to be well lit, so you don't surprise drivers in the night. Drainage, you have to worry about drainage, especially in freezing weather. So there are technical issues to be resolved. This resolution simply incorporates, first of all, that modest amount of traffic in, of DDOT engineering to make sure that the speed humps make sense. And second of all, review after they're designed by the residents and the ANC to make sure that what they come up with is acceptable to all. And with that, I would like to move the vote.
Well, I would like to make a motion.
Greg?
I move that we table this until the next meeting with the expectation that the DDOT will proceed with Jim Graham's support for immediate speed humps. And in the meantime, we'll try to come up with a better solution.
Jack?
Is there a second to the motion to table?
Dave?
No second. No motion. I move the vote on the main motion.
All those in favor of the speed humps for 17th Street? I have 4-2. I have Commissioners McKay, Lepanto, Bosselman, and Scott voting yes. And Commissioner Edwards and Commissioner Thunder, you look confused.
Yeah.
You are?
It is confusing.
I'm sorry, what's
the difference between the humps and the bumps.
But in all honesty, what I told you is correct. A hump you can drive over. In other words, if your car's going like this, you just do that. But a speed bump, when you're driving, you must stop. Take it slow, or else when you go over it, your car will pop up and pop back down. I worked for them for a summer. So do you understand? I mean, you all right now?
Yeah. You know what it is? What the people in the area want to have.
They want humps.
They
right.
Want the humps.
They want the humps.
They want the...
Oh, the humps. So they want... I'll go.
Okay, one more time.
Okay.
One more time. Let's take a look.
Let's say they're going to get the humps immediately.
Oh.
Okay. Commissioners, all those in favor of the resolution as it reads, the speed humps for 17th Street, vote now. Okay, we now have 5 commissioners voting yes. Commissioner Tunda, Scott, Bosselman, Lepanto, and McKay. Commissioner Edwards?
I vote no.
He votes no. All right.
With my vote, you would have gotten faster.
Thank you.
The motions concerning the hearing tomorrow have been lined out because Greg and I have agreed to testify to postpone these discussions until after the hearings tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good.
We have someone in the audience who wishes to say something.
Commissioners agree?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Again, I'm Ira Goldman, 1800 block Kilbourne. This is the main reason this business item is the main reason I attended the meeting here. And I asked to testify at the councilman's hearing tomorrow, and I never received a response from his office. I sent a question last week.
May I make a comment?
And First of all, I'd like to thank Jack for his resilience on the forum and responding to my comments and criticisms. He's done a yeoman's job in bringing information.
You're the 1800 Kilborn guy?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You were
such a pain in my butt.
Yeah, I tried to. Oh, yeah, I said I was the guy who made the speech.
Keep your personal relations.
and specifically with regarding this first line that one about the one side parking, is that I was fascinated that it says that Mount Pleasant is not so burdened with short-term shopping traffic, and yet apparently this commission supported the notion of limiting commuter parking to west of 18th Street, presumably to not overburden the parking of the shopping traffic parking in Mount Pleasant. So if there's no substantial problem with shopping traffic parking in Mount Pleasant, then I would see no reason why commuter parking would have to be segregated off to west of 18th Street, rather let it happen throughout Mount Pleasant. So I don't know whether this has been put off to some for more consideration later. I don't know whether the meeting that was scheduled at the school for a couple days from now regarding the visitors, the commuter parking, whether that has been, it's indefinitely postponed, but I don't know whether that means the underlying proposal is postponed. And I'd also like to just mention, by the way, I don't think that that program has been authorized by law that's been cited as authorizing it. I'd be happy to provide details as to why I think that's true. But overall, in talking to a not statistically significant number, but a number of people west of 18th Street were my neighbors, to find out that we were going to be selected, and the signs are already up designating our area as the employee parking area of Mount Pleasant, is distressing. And so with regard to this specific one-side parking limitation, I don't see a downside to having it. But if the arguments against it are valid, then the arguments are valid against limiting any employee parking, which we also oppose in general, limiting it just west of 18th Street. Thank you.
Okay. We have responses for you, Commissioner Edwards and Commissioner McKay.
Just show up. That's a hearing. Jim, Graham almost always allows people at the end. You don't have to. The hearing starts at 11. My guess is that you could show up as late as 12:30 or even 1. But call down and see how it's going. Or you can. It's broadcast or including over the web, so you can track it and decide when to go.
Jack.
I was just going to say that discussion is not pertinent to anything that we're handling this evening. None of our resolutions deal with either. With parking issues.
Okay. All right. So are we at now?
Well,
I support the speed triggered count.
Okay, let's put that to the meeting. I would like to make a motion concerning speed cameras.
Okay.
Resolve that ANC would advise the Metropolitan Police Department and DDOT to install speed cameras on the 1800 and 2000 blocks of Park Road. The rationale is that it's a high speed, it's a east-west arterial, gets fast moving traffic, and I get an awful lot of complaints about traffic speed, and because it is an arterial, you can't use speed cameras. So it seems that speed cameras are the way to go. I need a second to the motion.
I second.
Thank you.
Discussion? Phil?
The 1800 block of Park Road, there's already a traffic signal there at both the I guess it's the 3100 block there of 18th Street, and there's a traffic signal at Park and Mount Pleasant. Is that right?
This is the stretch between 18th and 19th. So there's a traffic light at 18th and then a stop sign at 19th.
There's a four-way stop at 19th.
Yes.
Which typically has a, well, not typically, but often has a police vehicle.
Yes.
Lying in wait.
And the problem is also a tight curve there, which all by itself slows traffic. The complaints I get have to do with the straightaway portion between the intersection at 18th Street and that turn.
And the position of the camera at 2000, in the 200,000 block of Park Road would be somewhere west of the Wallbridge intersection?
Yes, because that's looking at traffic coming into and out of the park. And same situation where you have serious speed there. I mean, the 85th percentile speed was 34 miles an hour on that stretch, compared to 28 on 17th Street. And you can't use passive measures. We've been wrestling with the passive traffic calming for over a year now. And there's just very little that you can do with passive measures that will deal with traffic on an arterial. You can't use speed humps. We've been talking about road narrowing and people who want the road, people who park along there don't want the road narrowed because that means the traffic is whizzing right by their doors as they open their car doors. So you're kind of in no-win situation. We're down in a situation where the traffic camera, the speed camera, might be the only thing that would really deal with traffic. So a both these blocks, camera is something that can be done without having to face the fact this is an arterial and you cannot use speed humps.
Okay, Dave, and then back to you, Phil.
Sure. First of all, I'm confounded that when one of my constituents finally finds his way to our humble meeting, he's short-circuited. What you're saying has nothing to do with anything. So I'm rather disturbed about that. Well, this looks like a good test. So if you're into good tests, then you'd have to have data before and after, wouldn't you, to see if it did anything.
Okay, I'd just like to direct what you were saying about the gentleman. I can't use the word assume, but I thought when Greg was saying that you could get in touch with him tomorrow, because we weren't addressing it today, but I thought that you knew that we'd have to bring it back up at our next meeting, because after the meeting of tomorrow, that's why they wasn't discussing it tonight. So
I didn't understand that. I just understood it was being postponed. Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I was concerned because I just heard that it be postponed until sometime after tomorrow, but some of these items didn't get on the calendar that I saw until today. And I show up a few hours later, and then it's not on the calendar. And I don't know whether at 5 o'clock before the next meeting it's going to be back on the calendar, and I'm not aware, I'm not educated in the procedures. So that's why I took advantage of the microphone, and I apologize if I was out of order, to mention it now because of that. If I could, I'd also wanted to talk on this subject, but I'll
go ahead.
The speed cameras, it's interesting, heading westbound or north on Park in 2000 block, there's a sign in the middle of the road that says you must stop for pedestrians and crosswalks, but there's no crosswalk. And I don't know if people are concerned, and this is my concern about other parts of the area outside of Mount Pleasant where there are speed cameras to protect pedestrians, but there are no crosswalks. Mm-hmm. And maybe there should be a crosswalk there. Also, has there been a traffic study to determine that 25 is in fact the appropriate speed limit for that area? people should drive under the speed limit, but before enforcement in the form of a radar gun should start being used, I would like to see a study done saying, yes, and by the way, this is the right speed limit. So that's what I have to offer.
Those were some important facts. That's funny when you got to watch for the pedestrians in a crosswalk and it's not there. That's real interesting. So, Phil?
Just for the record, I want to note that motorists must yield to pedestrians wherever they are, whether it's in a crosswalk or not. And that's not just DC law, that's Uniform Vehicle Code. With regard to the amendment at hand, I wonder if you might accept a friendly amendment along the lines of, in the meantime, setting a, and I don't know what they're called, the radar guns that display speed as you approach the gun that you often see at the bottom of the intersection of Klingel Porter and Beach Drive. And as far as the effectiveness of speed cameras go, as well as those speed monitoring devices, certainly seen traffic slow down quite substantially on Porter west of Connecticut Avenue since I moved here. They seem to have gotten that under control quite well. So, would you accept an amendment that puts in, doesn't adopt a speed monitoring and display device?
Well, it's already been done on the 2000 block, and it's only a temporary palliative. The goal of the speed camera is to do something that's permanent about the problem. So I'd rather not weaken this by calling for the speed monitoring device as well. I could turn a request to think that this is aimed at really finding a permanent solution to the problem.
Further discussion, Greg?
Do you think it would be germane to include the suggestion of a form of painting a crosswalk? Or should we do that in a separate resolution?
Where would you put the crosswalk? I mean, this is a problem with crosswalks because the crosswalk is supposed to indicate where it is believed to be safe to cross. It doesn't make it safe to cross. Where it is believed to be safe to cross. Now, as it happens, ZDOT is about to put high visibility crosswalks at a couple of these intersections on Park Road, which will make them more visible. Whether it will improve driver respect for them, I don't know. If there's a problem here, it's really that a lot of people want to cross the street in between crosswalks. I mean, nobody wants to walk all the way to the intersection, cross this crosswalk, walk all the way back. That's just human nature. They cross in the middle, and that's where traffic speed can be very troublesome. So a crosswalk, and you're not going to put a crosswalk in the middle of the block because that's where it is dangerous to cross.
Right.
Well, in keeping with my new found religion of evidence and arguments, I'm going to have to back off because I haven't studied this very well. I do know, because I had a bit of a discussion with a police officer, that jaywalking only is defined where there are two crosswalks on either side. And so if you don't have a crosswalk at one end of the block, then you're not jaywalking.
Okay. Oliver, you look confused again.
Yeah. No.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's keep it simple. Can I just have my speed cameras? I have a couple of votes.
All right. Are we ready for a vote?
Yes.
All those in favor of the speed cameras? Okay. We have McKay, Barsman, Scott, Edwards, and Tunda voting yes. Okay. We have a unanimous vote. Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer an amendment.
To?
To to read, resolve the ANC-1D advises the MPD and DDOT to install speed cameras.
Point of order? Resolution has been passed.
I thought we had to pass a resolution before we could amend it.
No, we haven't amended it before.
No, now you'd have to pass a new.
Well, then I withdraw my malformed motion.
And then you would have to be at the end of the line.
ANC notification, Greg?
Resolved, ANC-1D advises the Office of Zoning, the Board of Zoning Adjustment, the Zoning Commission, the Office of Planning, the Department of Consumer Regulatory Affairs, and the Mayor to include in any conventionally, and the word should be amended to sent, letter of notification of a substantial change. An additional sentence suggesting that they contact their local agency to participate in the formulation of local advice.
Second.
Discussion? Jack?
Yeah, I think what you need to say here is a notification to neighbors. This is where this came up. This was in the case of the BZA application. The applicant was advised to go to his ANC. But when the neighbors were notified what was coming, it said nothing about going to the ANC. And that's really why we got into so much trouble, because Franco didn't know that he should have come to us on day one. The tone of the letter was, show up at the BZA hearing. And he didn't know it. And that's what this is.
I accepted the Supreme Amendment and note that the altercation and depolarizations at 1616 Irving Street are still going on with multi-hundred-thousand-dollar suits, and they've spent that much money on lawyers, and because we did not get to it early, I think. I
just added, Greg, to include in any conventionally sent letter of notification to neighboring residents.
I flipped this out in between other phone calls, so I'm sorry.
Okay. Any further discussion on it? No further discussion. We're ready to take a vote. All those in favor? Okay. We have five commissioners voting yes. McKay, LaPonto, Scott, Edwards, and Tunda. Commissioner Bosserman. Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. It's a unanimous 6-0. Oh, it wasn't high. Okay.
Pretty soon I would like to get an adjournment because I have testimony to write for tomorrow, and I have a ULA conference, so I don't have any hours.
Then let me suggest we take the liquor licenses because
oh, yes, there, of course.
Liquor license renewals. And Greg, is this... Who's going to offer this one, Craig?
Yes. Resolved that a... first of all, I would like to thank Phil LaPonto for goading me on this to get this in sooner rather than my normal, terrible, tardy practice of waiting until I've got all my evidence and arguments to know what I'm doing. In the future, I'll try to put in draft ones even if I don't know what I'm doing so people know what's going on. Resolved that ANC-1D advises the Alcohol Beverage Control Board to accept the applications for renewal for retailers Sportsman Wine and Liquor and Irving Liquor. ANC-1D authorizes Greg Edwards to testify on behalf of the Commission should either owner request assistance at their respective hearings or over their cases. And if people have seen the emails, they know that I've been in continuing contact with them. And given,
can I get a second?
Okay.
Before the discussion. Okay, now I have a second. Cody, what's your discussion?
Frankly, they're caught because they want to get rid of a lot of the rigmarole of the voluntary agreements. It's an Orwellian term that they really don't like. And on the other hand, they can see what has happened to poor Alberto Ferrofino. And so they are just now been able to reach each other and get together. We had a meeting scheduled for Sunday. It's been rescheduled for later this week, hopefully Thursday. And to try to get, it's rather late, but it's, if they don't do it now, they've got to wait 3 years.
Further discussion, Jack.
I would like to offer a friendly amendment that we strengthen that last line. It appears to ANC, Wendy, that they are well-run and responsible businesses. That sort of implies that maybe we don't know what's going on. I would rather have say ANC, Wendy, believes that they are well-run and responsible businesses.
Yeah, that's good.
To strike it or to just, I would take striking the whole thing because it's expression of opinion, and opinion, as we're learning, doesn't count.
But that is our rationale for wanting renewals, is that we believe.
Our belief doesn't matter. Look at Rob Waldeck's memo on Great White.
Then you're proposing that that last sentence be deleted?
Yes. Old habits die hard, even in England, though I'm trying to adopt a new religion. I'm finding it difficult.
Well, I think the word appear needs to be changed, but I think the statement needs to stay. But that's my opinion.
Let me suggest one more very minor change. That last sentence, what is now the last sentence, has heard about or seen no problems, has neither heard about nor seen problems.
Thank you.
Okay, are we ready for a vote now? All those in favor of this resolution? 6-0 in favor.
I move adjournment.
ANC 1D.
Excuse me, I'd like to call for a vote on that. We still have 10 minutes left in our normal meeting time.
Okay.
Yeah, let's take a look at what's left on the list here. I mean, there's Phil's resolution.
ANC 1D commends Mount Pleasant Main Street and Mount Pleasant Green Team for the substantial amount of work that has been completed to make the streets of Mount Pleasant Commercial Corridor more attractive and clean. The commission should send letters of commendation to Alejandro Yepes and Charlie Whitaker, care of Mount Pleasant Main Street, and carbon copy, Council Member Jim Graham's office.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, discussion.
I oppose this.
Discussion? Greg?
I oppose this quite strongly. First of all, we dealt several years ago with the issues of writing commendations for the outside. And decided after a lot of debate that there are very often these things have secondary impacts that we don't understand, and it's easy to do them, and that we then thereafter stuck with just commending our own workers and volunteers. Secondly, I have heard considerable discussion and about the difficulties in management of the green teams from workers and from people involved in it. And so I just saw this. I didn't have a chance to pull together that evidence, and so I think that there are questions that ought to be raised about this. Thirdly, I don't know how this is going to be used. Given Main Street's shenanigans in getting recent grants, where they did not tell they were involved in some grants where people in the business, the president of the business association was not informed of what was going on for a business association proposed grant, and I would like to know a lot more about how these things are going to be used, because I don't want to see further kinds of shenanigans going on. And so I would like to see further discussion and further understanding of this to go forward for those three reasons.
Anybody else discussing, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, this certainly seems harmless, and with the work done, admirable.
And yet, I too am concerned about the precedent, because once you start issuing commendations, then you have to worry about what happens if you don't issue a commendation to somebody. Are we? It just opens a thicket of concerns, which I think might be best avoided.
You got comments, Phil?
Well, and I'm supposed to be the conservative one on the panel. I will say that, I guess you could make a long laundry list of things that you shouldn't do because it might create problems for yourselves. On the other hand, I am very pleased with the work that has happened with the Green Team in our neighborhood, and I would like to see it continue. And that is the beginning of where this resolution is offered. It cannot be used for anything more than what it says, to my knowledge, without further ANC 1D authorization. So, again, I would like to see the Green Team continue with their work. I would like them to know that it is appreciated in this community. And I would urge my fellow commissioners that when they see good works, that we encourage it by offering commendations rather than sitting on our hands hoping that no problems will come our way.
Okay, I don't know which one was first, but I'll take Dave and then Greg.
Yes, and this does extend a hand to other civic groups in the area, and I think we should never miss an opportunity to do that when we do appreciate the actual results that are being brought forth. However, we may see shenanigans, as it was mentioned.
Okay. Greg, go.
The idea of pressures for commendation letters is not unique to us and to a lot of other agencies. Most groups that have some position set up commendation committees to examine and to vet the request, because otherwise the pressure, as Jack said, is relentless. On point one, and I don't wish to encourage this. I think individual commissioners can write letters, and that usually suffices. I write such letters quite a bit, and they seem to be essentially equally appreciated. The next item is that I'm concerned that there is a lot of there's a lot of distrust here about the way that earmarks are being allocated, and Main Street is one of the groups that has gotten a lot of earmarks, and there are other groups that feel that they have done so illegitimately as a result of I know firestorms of AstroTurf and so on, and so this is not as innocuous I fear as it may appear, but it is part of a considerable amount of money being pushed around on the basis of it. So I say that that in this case, because there are these concerns, that we should not do so without further thought, and generally that it's not a good idea as far as to reopen the door to letters of commendation.
Okay, my opinion is when we're making our public discussions and what have you, we need to be wise on the words that we use, because I don't think I particularly care for the word shenanigans. That incorporates a whole lot of stuff up in there, so we have to watch our words. Next, since I've been a part of this commission, there have been a lot of community organizations that should have received recommendations. But that was one of the first things that came up when I came aboard, that this ANC did not want to get into that because it's so many various people, even individuals along with organizations, that need to be commended for the very good work that they do in this community, and there are those who will go unnoticed that we don't even know about. So we will be labeled like we're prejudiced, and we have certain people that we acknowledge and those that we don't. So on our public board, maybe we could do something, and you know, like Greg suggested, maybe the commissioners could put up something, each individually or what have you. But it does open us up for a lot of stuff that we're not even aware of, because there are people who brought a cake in here to us one time. I mean, and they'll say, well, why didn't you notice me? I did something for the community. So, but, okay, so are we ready for the vote on it? Or, okay. All those in favor? We have Bosselman, Lepanto, and Thunder voting yes. All those not in favor? And we have McKay, Edwards, and Scott voting no, which is a 3-3, which means it fails. Okay.
I move adjournment.
Okay. We have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Okay, 6-0. We stand adjourned at 8:29 p.m.
See, I have a little file box, and I print my notes off, and then I just stick them in the front.
Those are your church notes.
No, these are notes for our last meeting.
Maybe it was a sermon.
Oh, my. Y'all would not recognize.